leader, the life story of the foremost man of our time, Winston Churchill. Harrow, Sandhurst Military College, a subaltern in the 4th Hussars, a freelance in the Cuban War, attached to the Indian Army. Life goes merrily on for the great adventurer, a thirst for experience, for excitement, to acquire inward knowledge and strength ready for the day when he may be called upon to take upon himself the mantle of leadership. In this chapter, we find young Winston back in England from Cuba, happy once again to be reunited with his mother, the beautiful American who married Lord Randolph Churchill.
Winston, this is our old friend, Sir John Willoughby. You must have heard your father mention him often.
Why, yes, of course. You're from Cape Colony, aren't you, Sir John?
I am. Yes, I suppose the whole world knows that by now.
But something happened. I'd been away, you know.
Winston, I wrote and told you about Dr. Jamieson's raid on Johannesburg.
The Jamieson raid? Oh, yes, I know about that, of course. The papers have been full of it.
Well, Sir John Willoughby accompanied Dr. Jamieson on that expedition.
Did you, Sir John? By Jove, I'd like to have been with you myself.
Perhaps it's just as well you were not, Winston. I'm on bail, awaiting trial.
How exciting! Oh, but you'll get out of it. Tell me what happened.
Well, the new inhabitants of Johannesburg, mostly British, the Boers call them outlanders, are very dissatisfied with President Kruger's administration. They're taxed heavily. They're not allowed to vote.
Well, that's not fair anyway. The American colonists began with that grievance, didn't they, Mother?
No taxation without representation. I used to write that in my copybook. But please go on, Sir John.
The outlanders were ready to rebel. Jamieson called on all Britishers to help him in their struggle and to present unnecessary bloodshed. Yes, there were 700 of us altogether and 2 guns.
And what did you do exactly?
Well, we rode across the veldt to Johannesburg, right into the arms of the Boer commandos who were waiting for us. We were sentenced to death. Lord Salisbury interceded with Kruger and, well, we were permitted to ransom ourselves.
The Kaiser's telegram to Kruger caused quite a stir.
Yes. I think the time is not so very far distant when we'll be fighting the Germans.
But there can't be any more big wars, Sir John. Nations have become too civilized.
Have they, my boy? You wait and see. And in the meantime, learn as much soldiering as you can. It'll all be needed.
I sail for India next month, sir. I dare say I shall get plenty of soldiering there, but it won't be the real thing.
The real thing will come. Perhaps in Africa. Perhaps even in Europe. I don't know. But I feel these things coming on. And when they do, it'll be your job, Winston. Yours and all your generations. I wish you luck, my boy.
Thanks, Sir John. And as you're out on bail, may I wish you the same?
Oh, well.
Fine fellow, isn't he? They're lucky he couldn't stay longer.
Sir John is a very courageous gentleman.
You remember he said, the day is not far distant when we will be fighting the Germans.
Oh, I think his imagination ran away with him a little.
I'm not sure that he isn't right, though. Have you ever thought, Mother, that the world is beginning to look more like a volcano every day? If there's peace in most spots, there's sure to be one little eruption somewhere. I thought once that life was going to be very peaceful. Now I'm not so sure.
Oh, how depressing, Winston.
Depressing, and yet exciting. To be in the thick of great events. To lead, not to follow. To rescue peoples, not just to be one of the ones saved. To do things, and to do them with vision.
You can sound very inspiring when you talk, son.
Oh, that's the trouble, Mother. I've not read enough. I don't know enough. I haven't sufficient command of the English language. Well, now that I'm going out to India, I'll get great opportunities.
You're going out to India to be a soldier, Winston.
A soldier? Yes. But my main object is to learn to realize and learn to master the English language. You can't be a famous soldier, statesman, or leader unless you can write and speak with facility. Maybe one day, Mother, I might even be an orator, eh?
That, Winston, would be far from enough.
There he is, squatting over his books. What's Churchill reading so avidly?
The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire.
You're not serious, Churchill.
Certainly.
Can't you find anything better to do in India than that?
It wasn't until I came to live in this wise old land that I realized how abysmally ignorant I am. So I decided it was about time I did something about it.
But what good will it do you?
I'm hoping it'll make me a better soldier, and perhaps a better man.
You're a rumbird, Churchill. Can't make you out at all. I believe he's getting religious.
Well, you're right, in a way. At any rate, For the first time in my life, I'm beginning to think about religion.
Oh, of course, I've had a Christian upbringing, just the same as the rest of you, but I hadn't thought of Christ's gospel before from the standpoint of ethics.
Ethics? What's he talking about? Not thinking of tactics, are you?
No. Ethics are concerned not merely with the things we ought to do, but with why we ought to do them.
Too much religion's no good. Look how it affects the natives.
You're right. Too much religion and not enough belief. I've learned a lot here, and I'm going to learn a lot more. When I leave India, I want to be sure that I know what it's all about. Wisdom and knowledge, you've got to acquire them at some time to get anywhere. Mother, you're looking as wonderful as ever.
More wonderful. Thank you very much, Winston. It's nice to have my son compliment me. Glad to be back in England.
I could ask nothing better than this, Mother. To lie on a green English lawn in a green English summer. What more has life to offer?
I thought this news about the revolt on the Indian frontier might have made you restless.
What did you say, Mother?
Oh, didn't you read it? The Pathan tribesmen have revolted, and a field force of 3 brigades has been formed under Sir Bindon Blood.
Sir Bindon Blood? Why, I know him well. Met him at Bill Beresford's. He promised me that if ever he commanded another expedition on the Indian frontier, he'd let me come with him.
Oh, Winston, but you're not going away, are you?
I'm going to telegraph Sir Bindon right away. Oh, don't you see, Mother, this is a great opportunity. It mightn't happen again for years.
But you've another fortnight yet before your leave is up.
I don't want any more leave. I'm sick of lying around doing nothing. Mother, will you go and see Lord Beresford? He might be able to do something. And in the meantime, I'll send a telegram to Sir Bindon. I better get hold of some newspapers, too. They may need a correspondent. Now, what time does the Indian mail go? I'd better start packing. Pardon my out-of-breath state, but I rushed to get here.
Well, me boy, you got here at last.
Yes, sir, and aching to go into action. When do we start?
And when do we start what?
Why, sir, the fighting.
I'm hoping there won't be any fighting.
No fighting, but... But I thought, I hope...
Yes, 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 I know what's in your mind. But the government of India doesn't enjoy killing people. That's why they send political officers up with us to try and get the tribesmen to talk things over. There's a conference taking place now.
But if these Pathans take the law into their own hands, sir, shouldn't they be punished?
An ancestor of mine, a certain Captain Blood, once tried to steal the crown jewels from the Tower of London.
Oh, I've read about that. But I didn't know he was one of your family, sir.
Well, he was. He was brought to trial for high treason and several other capital offences, but was immediately acquitted and given the command of the king's bodyguard. Now, what lesson do you learn from that, Churchill?
That it pays to be a villain, sir.
Colonel Blood wasn't a villain. He was the greatest man of his time. He had initiative, daring, intelligence. The king was wise enough to realize that such a man would be invaluable to England. And so, instead of punishing him, he took him into his own service.
But what has this to do with what's happening up here, sir?
These Pathan tribesmen are like my ancestor. Courageous, intelligent men. We don't want to kill them. We want to bring them over to our side. The time may come when we'll need men like that.
I never thought of it that way before, sir. Of course, I see now that it's a very wise policy. But what happens if we can't talk them round?
Well, in that case, we'll do our best to blow them to blazes in the quickest possible time.
Oh, gosh, isn't it funny? Life is full of climaxes and anticlimaxes. I go to Cuba seeking adventure, and, well, it was disappointingly dull. Now I rush out to India to get a breath of frontier fighting, and it's going to be settled by negotiation.
Never mind. Your time will come.
Yes. I know it will. But I've got a very intense feeling that before my time comes, I'm going to go from disappointment to disappointment. Almost to get somewhere, and then anticlimax.
You have to face that kind of thing, you know.
Yes, I know. That's why I formulated a philosophy. When you suffer the disappointment of an anticlimax, you say to yourself, don't worry. It's just the end of a chapter. When the next chapter begins, who knows what might be in store? That's it. Forget disappointment and turn your face towards the morrow.
Wisdom from the young. Anyway, young men, don't think pacification is certain. By next week, we and you may be in the thick of it. We'll just wait on events.
That exposition, Mother, it was dull. Darn dull.
Indeed.
Very disappointing after rushing off to India like that.
For once, you're hiding your life under a bushel. You forget that I read the newspapers. Listen. It's from Reuters' correspondence, and I've kept it to show you. After a glorious day of hand-to-hand fighting, there were a succession of bloody combats and heroic actions. The Bengal Lancers had no easy time. Amongst those who earned recognition and was praised by the officer commanding the force for courage and resolution was Lieutenant W.L.S. Churchill, 4th Hussars, who made himself useful at a critical moment.
Oh, fancy writing that. Oh, well, at least I've been mentioned in dispatches.
I'm proud of you, Winston. So will that favourite ancestor of yours, the Duke of Marlborough, be. For you're beginning to walk in the footsteps of the brave.
For the present, we end another chapter in the life story of a man who is to face endless disappointments and reverses, but is always in the end to win out to great success and fame. Listen in again to Imperial Leader.